your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Grass make the heaven the middle. We are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to be covering a lot of clips this week and news and items and topics and so forth. But first, the Florence hurricane came on shore there in North Carolina. It's causing havoc. It was downgraded before it hit the coast. And so the wind damage wasn't as great, but the flooding is horrendous. So we want to pray for everyone in that area, in that immediate area. What it's going to do is going to cause flooding of the rivers into the downstream areas and so forth. But we want to really pray for everyone in that whole general area. And we know FEMA's out there doing the best that they can. We've got coming up first is a clip interview by Jake Tapper, CNN, with Kellyanne Conway. And they're discussing this anonymous letter that was published in the New York Times recently. Anonymous letter, and it put a lot of doubt about an orderly, sane White House that injected into the public some chaotic White House that was in shambles and disorder. So I'm gonna let you listen to Kelly Conway interviewed by Jake Tapper, and what she comes back to the point time and time again that they're giving credibility to some anonymous person that claims he's an appointed official in the White House. He shouldn't. Anonymous, if a person has credibility, stands up and says, I'm so-and-so, and this is what I believe. So this anonymous stuff. And then there was the Bob Woodward anonymous sources. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But listen to this interview with Kellyanne Conway by Jake Tapper. Listen carefully.
Joining us now is Counselor to the President, Kellyanne Conway. Kellyanne, thanks so much for being here. We really appreciate it. So President Trump has been talking a lot this week about the anonymous New York Times op-ed. And we have new reporting that says White House aides have narrowed the search for the writer down to just a few individuals. Who's on the list?
I have no idea who's on the list. What does concern me, though, Jake, apart from everything the President and others have said, is that for a media that is constantly talking about facts, accuracy, transparency, authority, the authoritativeness to this anonymous writer was imbued automatically because of the content. As long as the message is anti-Trump, it seems, the messenger has credibility. That should concern everyone. I'm with the Vice President on this. He has said that the person should resign if the person truly is an appointee who has taken an oath to the Constitution, as we all have. They don't take an oath to the President. We take an oath to the Constitution. But that Constitution puts an awful lot of authority into the executive branch.
Don't you think that the White House and the way that it has reacted to this op-ed has also imbued the op-ed with a sense of credibility? For instance, I have no idea who wrote it. I mean, it could be an assistant director at the Mineral Mining Agency, for all I know. But all of a sudden, you have the vice president denying it, Secretary of State Pompeo denying it. By the end of the day, every cabinet secretary had denied it, either on camera or in an official statement. Didn't that rise the level of the credibility, not to mention the oxygen?
So I did say earlier this week I had a fairly different view than others, which is why would we elevate someone we don't even know? We also don't know what this person has said to try to get that op-ed in the New York Times or what he or she has said to other people. So to the president's point that there could be a national security risk at hand, he doesn't want this person in a meeting where he's discussing China, Russia, North Korea. Any president of the United States, Jake, should have the comfort and the freedom to speak with his national security team.
Why does the president think it is a member of the national security?
No, he's making the point that if it is, that raises true concerns, if it's somebody who has access to information. And look, you know that, because you're in the media, you know that President Obama was investigating journalists. A lot of folks from the New York Times were criticizing him at the time. James Rosen
for leaks. And I don't support what he was doing, but he was.
But we should be reminded.
But there were investigations of leaks, not of criticisms. But I mean, it is different.
And I think this one is fairly simple. If this person really thinks that he or she is being patriotic and not pathetic, which is the way I view it, then they should come forward, because you would have given them the seat today. If what really was the motivation to? If the motivation is what they state it is in that ridiculous op-ed, they failed miserably. They missed the mark completely. I think the motivation was to sow discord and create chaos, and I refuse to be a part of that.
It certainly did sow discord and create chaos, but I do have to say, the central premise of the op-ed is not something we haven't heard before. We've been hearing that there are senior administration officials who feel it's their duty to protect the country from some of President Trump's worst impulses. For more than a year now, we've heard this in previous books and previous reporting. It's a theme in the new Bob Woodward book. We heard it on the record from Senator Bob Corker last year, just this week from Senator Ben Sasse. He said that he's heard it from people close to the White House. And I want you to listen to this from July of last year, then White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci calling in to CNN. Take a listen.
There are people inside the administration that think it is their job to save America from this president. Okay, that is not their job. Their job is to inject this president into America.
How do you explain the fact that there are senior administration officials who think it's their job to protect the country from President Trump?
To the extent that that's true, they shouldn't be there. In other words, their job is to execute, not through blind loyalty, but to understand that there are issues that prevailed and others that failed in the last election. What I appreciate about President Trump, Jake, and why I'm there, as opposed to the million other places I could be, is because he is somebody who is always welcomed, accepted, if not expected, dissenting viewpoints, disagreements. He has said it publicly several months ago, actually in a press avail. He said, I like watching them duke it out. He has people who disagree significantly on trade, on abortion, on the Second Amendment, on economic policies, and he has them there in front of them, but then ultimately President Trump knows he's the democratically elected decision maker.
But doesn't it bother you that there are senior administration officials that think it's their job to protect the president?
Yes, just as it bothers me that the same handful of sources feel like they need to sit down with every author and get their side of the story out. I guess they're too lazy to go write their own book, and who would believe them? But let me just say this.
But doesn't it say something about President Trump, that there are people around him that think this way?
I think it says something about them. This is what I ultimately want to say to you, too. I was really struck this week in denying the statements attributed to him in the Woodward book. Secretary Mattis, if you read his denial, it was remarkable what he denied, but it was really remarkable what he affirmed. He said not only would he never disparage the elected commander, he wouldn't tolerate it from anybody in the very big Department of Defense, but he also affirmed what's happening through Secretary Mattis and General Kelly and the Donald Trump, the President Trump agenda. He said the ISIS caliphate is all but disappearing, that defense policies are welcomed on Capitol Hill amiably, that we've had the first pay raise for our military in many years, something near and dear to your heart. And I do want to ask
you, not the first, but they've been going on.
First in a very long time.
I think it's a bigger pay raise.
As a responsible member of the media, I'd like to ask you on behalf of the White House, would you and CNN feel comfortable granting anonymity to somebody who may be a mid-level staffer? What would have been the comfortable criteria?
It's a totally good question. I don't know who.
Because I see people in the media very upset with this. They're saying, if it's not somebody in the cabinet, if it's not a senior staffer,
I don't know who it is. If it's somebody significant, then I think that printing it is responsible. If it's somebody completely irrelevant and powerless,
then why are we giving this person authority? This person obviously is motivated by conceit.
I can just tell you as an anchor that I gave the story more attention after Vice President Pence, Secretary Pompeo, and the entire cabinet came out and gave the op-ed credibility. It never even crossed my mind. I told this to you privately. It never even crossed my mind that it was Vice President Pence until Vice President Pence was out there saying it wasn't him. He and the administration gave this op-ed credibility.
Well, I want to say something else. This person obviously is motivated by conceit and deceit, and I don't think should be imbued with credibility. But also, that the opinion being expressed is not widely held. It's widely held around tables like this. It's not widely held around kitchen tables. I really think, and thank you for covering the economic boom, the boom in wages and labor and growth and jobs in manufacturing construction, which the poison pens can't touch. That's what's being discussed around kitchen tables, not cable news.
Let me ask you, though, because President Trump has said that Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, should be investigating who the author of the piece is because of national security reasons. Is that a directive to DOJ to investigate?
So from what I understand, there can be an investigation if there is criminal activity, perhaps.
And there doesn't appear to be any.
I don't know that. I don't think you know that. In other words, that's...
What would the criminal activity be?
It really depends on what else has been divulged by an individual. Anybody who would do this...
But we read the op-ed. There's nothing... There are no national secrets to
that. Anybody who would do this, you don't know what else they're saying. But there's a difference between administrative action, as I understand it, and criminal action. But the president is also just... The president...
Do you think the person broke the law?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You think that because he or she wrote the op-ed, he or she might have also broken the law?
I have no idea what I have. I have really no idea, nor do you, what else this person has divulged. I think somebody so cowardly and so conceited would probably go.
But that's not how investigations are done. You don't look at somebody's behavior and say, if somebody did this, which is not illegal, maybe he or she also would have done illegal
things. But Jake, let's not look at the four corners of the op-ed or the four corners of someone's book to say this is everything we know. That's the entire point. But look, the president's...
It is actually everything we know.
I actually think the
president... It's everything we know. The op-ed is everything we know about it. I mean, we don't know that this person has done anything else.
Right, because you're not the government sitting here. But the president is making the point. I think this person is going to suss himself or herself out. I think cowards are like criminals. Eventually, they confess to the wrong person. Shh, it was me, but don't tell anyone. And of course, the person will tell someone. So they'll probably suss themselves out. But I really hope whomever it is doesn't ultimately get a hero's welcome, the red carpet unfurled, kill the fatted calf, because what really was gained by being so cowardly? Come forward and say, I disagree with this president's policies. Plenty of Republicans have done that. He has turned this city upside down.
Well, one of the reasons...
You can see the donor class, the lobbyists, certainly
right.
The media.
Well, one of the reasons why you and the president want to know who it is so you can undermine that person's credibility. You can't attack him or her without knowing who it is in the same way that you have attacked other critics, James Comey, Omarosa, whomever. So I mean, isn't that really one of the reasons that you want this person to come forward?
Not me. This person has already undermined their credibility. I don't know why they were imbued with the authority, transparency, accountability, and credibility that everybody gave them other than they were peddling an anti-Trump message. I don't think an anonymous messenger should be imbued with that level of credibility. So they've already undermined their credibility. I think the whole point here is, are you somebody? Mm-hmm. If you're somebody who would do this, are you somebody who also has access to information?
Right at the end, Kellyanne Conway, she's good as gold, injects the opinion again that somebody's going to go on and write this anonymous op-ed for the New York Times, who has been totally against Trump this whole time. Then what kind of credibility should they have? And are they, if they are an appointed official, they're saying they're high level possibly, and they could be handling national security documents and materials. So can they be trusted when they go out like this, and allege these different, allegations about the White House being in disarray? I just don't see it totally. And that's why all of this is just a bunch of a bull, in my opinion. Coming up next, we've got Bob Woodward, okay? And he was interviewed, and he's talking about this new book of his, Fear, and what it means, and what it, the real depth of it, and so forth. But what he's doing, he's injecting fear into the White House, topic and discussion and controversy through his book, Fear. And then in his Fear book, he has all these anonymous sources. What is that about then? I've listened to over the years all kinds of authors and so forth, and anyone that comes out with a book like Bob Woodward had, with all these different anonymous sources, it's not to be respected. So many of your finest writers in this country and in the world are saying that, and I've listened to them over the years, that anyone that has a book like this is more gossiping than it is accurate. And when you quote these anonymous sources, who are they then? So you can quote anonymous sources from anywhere. But listen to this second, see what you think.
it's out of the mainstream. And I think you have to look at every day, like this is the way the people in the White House look at it, which is who knows what's going to happen. The tweets, I mean, they start the day, you know this, reading the tweets because no one knows.
He's upstairs alone in the executive residence of the White House, tweeting by himself. When you think about all the challenges you've laid out here, Bob, yeah, in the book, in your reporting, are the challenges surrounding President Trump different, in a different class than the challenges that you've encountered with the nine other presidents you've observed?
Yeah, this is unique because it is, there's not an operating theory. There's not a team building. I keep going back to, you've got to have a team. It's just like here on your show. You have a team. I've met all your producers. I know they do all the work, not you. And that,
very true.
At the Washington Post, you have a team. You so need true. A team. And collaboration is the only way you get to solutions. And a leader has to listen. And I think the listening skills of a leader are among the most important. And he just doesn't want to listen. He wants to talk. And he wants to. It's a very troubling time. And people who want to pretend it's not troubling are kidding themselves.
Well, are the institutions, Congress, the federal agencies, the norms in this country, are they holding?
Well, it could be tested, and this is when you have when there's a real crisis. How do you excuse me? How does he make his decision in a way that will take from his disruptor instincts and the past, these institutions that have been handed him? When people say it's not normal, of course it's not normal. He won on not being normal. You don't have to be normal, but you have to be, you can't go around. I mean, I was talking to some of the BBC people today, and my God, you know, in Europe, they're just saying, what is going on? This book is the bestseller in Europe. Imagine that. That just doesn't happen. That's because people wonder where this all ends.
Whether it's in Europe, inside of the White House, even now in 2018, there's a mass effort to try to understand President Trump. Again and again, people are asking the question, who is he?
Yes, and unfortunately, his lawyer, John Dowd, gets the closing comment in this book, and that is that he's an effing liar. And this theme, our newspaper, 4,200 and so many lies or distortions, that's important. I think most important is what he does on national security. That's where you can make a mistake, where you have to have the Secretary of Defense tell you, we're doing all these things to prevent World War III, job one for a president. And then you have the beleaguered Trump in the Mueller probe, which he just, as John Dowd says, you know, he's really disabled. He can't tell the truth.
Bob Woodward, thank you so much for your reporting, your insights now and for the past four decades. Appreciate your time. Thanks for being here.
Time and time again, the people that have been allied against Trump are using the same old type of overall messages that he's not stable, he's impulsive, he doesn't listen, and it's not a normal White House. Somehow this administration is off key. It's off the edge. You know, it's over the edge. It's something wrong here. See, and that's what Bob Woodward he time and time again, he comes back and tries to put into this so-called, you know what I mean, discussion, you know, about, you know, Amendment 25, 25th Amendment. well, you can remove a disabled president. He says he's disabled. The White House is disabled. Yeah. They're making advances in the North Korean problem. Our economy is stronger than it's ever been. And, yeah, this is a disabled White House. Sure. I'm not believing that at all, Bob Woodward. You're just part of this whole propaganda front, and you're being well paid, I'm sure. Well, anyway, coming up next is Steve Bannon. And on his interview by Laura Ingraham, he was in the White House, and he says, yes, there is a coup underway to take Trump down. And he, if anyone knows, he should. Now, he left not on the best of terms. But anyway, listen to what Steve Bannon says, interviewed by Laura Ingraham. Here we go now.
Tell me what the Democrats are running on.
Impeach 45!
The Democrats have nothing to run on, so they resorted to racist and xenophobe and all these other things.
African-American unemployment, Hispanic unemployment, record low.
This election cycle is about the highest stakes possible for our nation.
This is Armageddon.
You know, this is tough stuff. We're fighting a war.
Well, that's a clip from the film Trump at War, the new documentary from former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon. And President Trump's enemies are seemingly emboldened after the release of details from the Woodward book and that anonymous New York Times op-ed by a senior administration official. Bannon says President Trump is now facing what is essentially a coup from within his own White House. He joins us now with more. You can see the film Wednesday on the One America News Network. That's going to be a lot of fun, 8 p.m. How you doing, Bannon?
Hey.
Long time no see.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for dressing up. You have your own clothing line coming out, right? It's black on black. I wanted the military jacket.
I knew if I was going to come on the show, you were going to bust my chops.
I know.
I deserve it.
I needed the military jacket tonight because it's at war. You're at war, so you got to be in the military coat. All right. Why the film? Why now? I mean, we're at war. We've been at war from the beginning. I mean,
well, Trump has against
the
permanent political class.
Right.
You know, I've talked about this for years. You know, I've been on your radio show. You were on my radio show. Trump has been at war with the permanent political class. About 8 months ago, I started this film feeling that by the time we had the run-up, it was going to be like the Tea Party movement. We needed these rally films to kind of get people empowered. So this film is for the base plus, to get them excited, to get them out, you know, walking precincts, et cetera. So I think it's, you know, you can already tell it's gotten a big reaction already from the Democratic left.
Well, the funny thing is that it's coming out Wednesday when you had Omarosa, Woodward, Michael Wolff, Omarosa, Woodward, and now the anonymous column. And there are some out there who say this is all planned. I mean, I don't know if it's all planned and coordinated, but I almost would think it would be, given that it's every day it's a drip, drip, drip.
The film shows what President Trump's been up against since day one, right? It shows in the campaign, but particularly shows in the White House what he's up against. And I think the convergence of that book in the anonymous column, I mean, it's quite evident that President Trump, there's a coup. I mean, there's a coup like the same. There was a coup by General McClellan and the senior leadership in the Union Army to try to thwart what Abraham Lincoln wanted to do in the Civil War. You have an exact type of coup right now. What was said in that anonymous letter was absolutely outrageous, and I think the president ought to take immediate and direct action to find out who the conspirators are. I don't think there's any one author. I think there's an author that – I think there's somebody that drafted it. There are many voices in there. I think you can tell the way it's written. I think it's a much broader conspiracy than people think. I think it's probably 6 to 12 people. And I think you ought to immediately start to do what Andrew Jackson did, or do what Abraham Lincoln did. Find out who's responsible and fire him.
Well, you have Broadway actresses now basically wishing that John Wilkes Booth were still around. I mean, this is the level of discourse and dialogue that they always blame Trump for. They say, well, he's the one who wanted said you can go punch someone out at a rally.
You can see in the first, I have a prologue in this film that's 5 minutes long. If this was put into theaters, because it's going to be distributed otherwise, it would probably be almost X-rated for violence and language. What we did is went back to the rallies. We went back to what Antifa's done to the Trump supporters. We show the violence. I mean, the left is out of control right now, okay, across the board.
Is it by any means necessary?
They are, absolutely, any means necessary. And now they have cohorts. Now they have cohorts in the administration. And I think it's broader than the White House. Remember, what the New York Times said was senior administration officials. And what that basically means for the New York Times is cabinet secretaries and their deputies, major agency heads, in assistance to the president, which is about 40 to 50 people.
Nikki Haley came out with an op-ed in the New York Times where she basically was supportive of the president, but basically said, when I want to challenge the president, I do so directly to his face. And there was word that the president didn't like that much. Because, like, why do you have to write a column with that focus? Again, it was fairly positive toward the president, but pointing out she disagrees with him on key issues. When I worked for the Reagan administration, it wasn't so out there constantly that you had, you know, perpetual infighting, although there were people who were less conservative than Reagan. But there was more of a movement. There was more of a sense of a movement.
I don't know. With Jim Baker.
Yeah,
and that, towards the end of the first term and the second term, you had the knives being put into the conservatives every day. White houses are naturally, you know, cauldrons.
But that's okay.
Cauldrons of different opinions, et cetera.
But that's okay because Trump does like people with differing opinions. And in the end, did Gary Cohen get his way on trade?
He did not.
No.
By the way.
Lighthizer did.
By the way, that's the power of.
Trump did.
I said today to Politico, what President Trump ought to do in the book is buy a million copies and airdrop them into the congressional districts who got to win. Here's what it shows. That President Trump had the right idea from the beginning. He understands we're at economic war with China, and he's going to bring all forces of the government to bear in that economic war. Cohen and Porter and all this crowd that fought him, the Committee to Save America, which the book is basically the typed up notes, the two central parts. The economic war against China and Afghanistan, in which the president was lied to, and it was misled about the cost of Afghanistan and what type of control we had over the country. That's why Mattis just went to Afghanistan.
They're trying
to bail themselves out. By the way, they were not upfront. They were not upfront and truthful to the president of the United States. And so, if you look at, and they say in there that he has the temperament of a 5-year-old. I told Politico today, if that's a 5-year-old, I want more.
That's me too. That's what I said.
I want more 5-year-olds on the National Security Council. Here's a guy that has in everything they say in the book about his trade policies and economic war is dead wrong.
Obama's taking credit for the economy. You got this manufacturing boom, blue collar jobs, wages going up for the lowest wage workers. They said it would never happen. It's happening. He's killing it on the jobs front. Obama's taking credit on Friday.
By the way, not just Obama, but also the Bush administration. Let's be brutally frank.
And Anonymous is taking credit.
A lot of the Anonymous are people from the Bush administration, establishment Republicans, the establishment Republicans. And the Democrats have been about managed decline to the United States of America. President Trump is a disruptor. He's an innovator. And this is what drives him nuts. Because of his policy, and what he's doing is reorienting the world's supply chain back to the United States. That's why Mexico's just cut a deal with us. That's why the EU is going to cut a deal with us. That's why Korea and Japan are going to cut deals with us. He's winning. He's absolutely economic nationalist. Absolutely. You can tell what he's doing on trade. He's bringing jobs back here, just like he said he's going to do. They hate that. Goldman Sachs, Gary Cohen, these guys are the investor relations department of the Chinese regime.
But they're all bought into China.
100%.
Their chips are on China.
What they told Trump is that the rise of China is like the second
it's
law.
Inevitable.
Inevitable. It's like the second law of thermodynamics. It's some law of physics that can't be turned around. And Trump said that's not true. And he's been relentless. The book opens where they're stealing. They're taking off his desk the deal about NAFTA and about Korea. Eventually, and they say, oh, it's terrible. Trump didn't know. Eventually, he got around to it.
Right.
He renegotiated NAFTA. He renegotiated Korea. And he's renegotiating in the process of taking the supply chain back from China.
Why was Omarosa hired?
She was on the campaign. And now, by the way, Omarosa was very good on the campaign. Yeah. Very, very effective.
She was effective, but boy, that
she was very effective on the campaign. She did a terrific job. We had to throw Omarosa into some very tough situations. And I think that's why
taping conversations.
Well, I think that's why Reince, look, in hindsight, but Reince and people, made a straightforward decision.
Looking forward to seeing the film.
I can't
wait to see it.
Trump at War. Go to TrumpAtWar.com.
TrumpAtWar.com, and you can find out more. You can watch a trailer if you haven't seen it already. A lot of you already have.
To my listening audience here, do you see how this propaganda front is beginning to unfold? They don't think they can impeach him unless they have a majority in the House, and then that probably wouldn't be convicted in the Senate. But they're trying to do now through these anonymous tips and these anonymous op-ed pieces in the New York Times, and then this anonymous book called Fear by Bob Woodward. You know what I mean? They're trying to inject into the American public. And it's a top-selling book. It's one of the fastest-selling books, this book called Fear. I wouldn't get 2 cents for it, tell you the truth. Not with all these different anonymous sources. Yeah, anonymous sources, you can better believe, they're anonymous, all right, for a reason. and because many of those sources probably are not accurate or whatever, or it's more opinion than it would be anything. But that's basically what I think that we're going to be up against in this thing. But, you know, when we get down to real power in the world, okay, we have to get around to, sooner or later, the money power. The money power was in the city of London, still is. And we've got Dr. Nick Bayes coming up with a short clip here about the central banks and a little bit about after the Civil War and all that. And he gives us a little bit of an overview about this power system and the way it lays out. So listen to this. And he also talks about the Continental, which is a currency used by the colonies before the British outlawed it. But that's why they outlawed it, and there's reason to believe and evidence that they counterfeited it to destroy the viability of the currencies. The Continentals were issued by the different colonies, and they began to prosper the colonies' wealth and a business. And the parliaments, through several years, enacted laws to restrict and finally outlaw the Continental. So listen to Nick Baggage. He has some very, very wonderful... He's a wonderful person. He has some wonderful ideas and insights. So listen, here we go with Nick Baggage.
And welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. This is Dr. Nick Baggage standing in this last hour on a Friday from my home in Alaska. And before the break, I was talking about infrastructure and the four factors of real economic production. When you study economics, it's land and labor. Land and natural resources, number two. Number three, capital equipment, things that make things like factories and shovels. And lastly, entrepreneurship, creativity. And when you think about sort of how this all goes, what is the medium between those four factors of production is money, currency. It used to be backed by gold, silver, something real. So when you were trading things, you had some kind of representative value. And now it's on the good faith and credit of the Federal Reserve System in the U.S. and the European Central Bank in most of Europe and other institutions for other countries. But the currency as the way of controlling governments and controlling countries is, in fact, what investment bankers and bankers around the world have recognized long ago. And when you think about the robber barons of the late 1800s and the 1800s, and even going back further in our history, the United States after the colonial wars, where we won our independence from England, they had a saying, not worth a continental. Well, that was the currency of the day, and there was nothing to back it up. The money system was in shambles. It wasn't worth a continental, and money that our revolutionaries who had fought and died for and sacrificed for was worthless, basically. But they held it, hoping someday the script would be honored. Meanwhile, speculators went around and collected it all up, bought it up for like 10 cents on the dollar. And then later, the United States government, under lobby pressure from people that bought up those Continentals, there's one on the screen. You know, what they ended up doing is they bought them up for 10 cents on the dollar. The U.S. borrowed money from France, paid them off in gold at 100 cents on the dollar later. And it was speculators that won, not the revolutionaries. You know, and it's kind of been that deal with bankers throughout our history. A really great book. I read it years ago. There's one, The New American History by W.E. Woodard. And it's actually from 1936. But the guy talked to people who'd been there, you know, more or less, people who were living and could tell him the stories of our history in a pretty dramatic way. But when you think about the Federal Reserve, the Civil War itself, after the Civil War, income tax, late 1800s, was tried, and in 1894, the U.S. Supreme Court voted down as unconstitutional. You couldn't tax labor. That was involuntary servitude, even if it was a government. So there was a constitutional amendment made in 1913. We got the Federal Reserve, which was the hijacking from the robber barons who were literally hijacking the national wealth. By taking the transportation corridors so that if you were growing wheat in Kansas, you were being robbed on the transportation costs by the robber barons who owned the granaries and owned everything, you know, bringing that grain to market. So, I mean, it was systems of control. And today, it's the communication system. Think about what's happened with Alex over the last several weeks in censorship by the main media, the if you will, communications industry and the media industry, which if you look at a percentage of GDP, a percentage of the world's economy, it's a big chunk of the money. But think of the robber barons that created taxation and income taxes, and they also at the same time created the Federal Reserve systems, which have never been audited. You know, here we are 109 years later and no full audit of the Federal Reserve. Give me a break. You know, there's a partial audit done showing trillions and trillions of dollars loaned out during the crisis of 2008 and its aftermath. But, you know, a full review of what these institutions represent, because they control the money supply, if you will. The money supply, which is the money that transfers between labor, natural resources, things factories build, and entrepreneurship. And that money is constrained by Federal Reserve organizations. When, you know, really it's about supply and demand, right? Is there a shortage of any of those things? Natural resources, labor, I mean, all of it on a global basis? No. What the globalists have done is transfer wealth. Okay, they're looking at the world now, looking at 300 million in the U.S. Eh, not so big of a market anymore when you got 4 billion people expected to jump into the middle class globally in the next, you know, several decades, but hey, that's where the money's moving, places like China and India. And what's happened there is the postscript to what's happening here. In India, they got rid of the e-currencies, you know, all of Bitcoin and all that in terms of central banks. They got rid of their 1,000 and 2,000 rupee notes and called them back. And if you didn't turn them in a certain amount of time and pay what tax they're due on them. And they're making money and social systems all electronic using iris scans, fingerprints, facial recognition, those three. And they have most of the population already in the system. In China, as has been reported, they do social media or the social medias of all kinds, whether it's Google or the Facebooks or their own local versions of the same, the software that's been developed to socially profile, like credit score, the population, so it decides who gets to eat, who gets to drink, who goes to college, who doesn't, who travels, who gets passports. This is what is happening in China. Okay, so you've got bank regulators looking at your credit scores and social scores by the social media. Facebook, Google, Apple, all these organizations, Amazon, and the rest of them. These represent the trillion-dollar industries of the 21st century. Technology, where power is.
Up next is Sean Hannity speaking to Sarah Carter and Greg Jarrett. And boy, they're bringing us up to date on this scandal. So listen closely to this. It's really good stuff, good information.
And now Democrats across America have unveiled their secret weapon for the midterms. That would be Barack Obama. Unfortunately for Democrats, only 38% of the American people want to see him back on the campaign trail. And just by the way, as we saw over and over during his 8 long, hard, difficult years in office, Obama is now using the same corrosive politics of division that he used back in the day. Yesterday, taking a shot at his favorite target, conservatives, talk radio, Fox News.
Forces of retrenchment and backlash and anger are constantly being fanned. And we've got, frankly, some media outlets that like to do the fanning. If you're willing to get involved and knock on some doors and talk to your friends, talk to some of those family members, talk to Aunt Jane, who sometimes, you know, is listening to the wrong radio programs.
Yeah, get in their face, he once said. We'll send Mr. Burgess over to Sean Hannity. He'll tear him up. All right, well, stop whining, Mr. Obama. Those were your words to President Trump in 2016. In 53 days, you, the American people, you have the power. You get to decide. You'll get the government you deserve. And that means whether or not Obama's cronies get their power back or whether the Trump agenda continues with its success. Here now with reaction to all this breaking news tonight, the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Russian Hoax, is a Fox News legal analyst, Greg Jarrett. It's number one on the New York Times list. And Fox News investigative reporter and contributor, Sarah Carter. Sarah, this is now 5 straight days in a row, and I'm told more struck page messages, there's over 50,000 of them, are coming out next week that are even more damning than the reveals about the media leak strategy and everything else. Here's my question. Am I right that tonight the institutions that are so great in the minds of most Americans, including my own, the FBI, the Department of Justice, the CIA, the intel community, are they hanging in the balance based on the abuse of power of some at the highest level that now we have incontrovertible evidence about?
Sean, I've spoken to a number of former very high-level intelligence officials and current law enforcement officials, and they say that's absolutely the case. This is hanging in the balance because all of this evidence, this isn't just circumstantial anymore. We're actually seeing the facts on its face point to one thing and one thing only, that this was a deception operation from the very beginning. And let me explain that a little bit. A deception operation is what CIA is trained to do overseas. It's what the Russians do to other countries. But instead, it appears that the FBI and possibly members of the CIA were doing it right here in the United States to their own government. So there needs to be a special counsel, they said. There needs to be a thorough investigation. Lindsey Graham is right. There needs to be somebody outside of the DOJ to investigate this, because the one thing we can't have happen in our country is have our own agencies, agencies that we entrust ourselves to, our lives to, actually working covertly against their own government and against the people of the United States.
Greg, and this is the whole premise of your book, the illicit scheme to elect Hillary Clinton, destroy Donald Trump. This is what it's all about.
That's right.
But who are the people destroying? We got the highest levels. We've got Strzok. We've got Page. We've got Comey. We've got McCabe. We've got Orr. We've got Sally Yates. We've got all these people. They all have one thing in common. They hate Trump. And it goes right into the special counsel's office himself, because Steele texting Bruce Orr, oh, did you get my information over to the special counsel, your contacts there? So it's the institutions of law enforcement, the FBI, the DOJ, the CIA, the intel community, and the special counsel's office. How can anybody in this country have faith in the rule of law now that all of these institutions have been tainted, not by rank and file, but by the highest people with the most power?
You're correct that there was a cancer in our government. It's still there. It became malignant under Obama's Department of Justice and James Comey's FBI, John Brennan's CIA, James Clapper's DNI, and it's still going on. Just look at the text messages that we received today. Strzok and Page are obsessed and transfixed with their quote-unquote personal role in leaking and shaping stories, and then they're bragging that now we can use this as a pretext to interview people. It's not only mendacious and devious, but to the extent they were leaking highly classified information, and they surely were, it is a crime. I'm no fan of a special counsel,
but
if you have a special counsel for Trump, you got to have a special counsel for the investigators who are breaking the law with impunity.
Absolutely. I've got to believe somewhere in the office, in the mind of Robert Mueller, somewhere there's got to be some sense of truth in all of this, and that all of this evidence, all of this abuse of power, he's got to understand at some point that all of these agencies now will be permanently, if not irreparably, damaged in all of this. Sarah.
Yes, and the one thing that he needs to do, and you know, we've spoken to a number of lawmakers who've said the same thing, he needs to wrap up this special counsel investigation, which was based off of false, unverified information. Look, all of this was a pretext, Sean. They built a narrative, and then they tried to support that narrative. When I tell you this is a deception operation, that means they thought about this from the beginning. They were going to try to find a way to try to connect President Trump to Russia, even if it was based on false information. They leaked that to the media.
The irony,
they
though, is
the
Hillary
irony.
Was the connection. Hillary paid
right.
for the Russian lies that got everybody in trouble because they all
Absolutely.
Wanted to protect her.
These people loved Hillary Clinton. They hated Donald Trump. He was a threat to their positions of power. So they went about conjuring.
They caught these people. There's all kinds of emails now implicating them in leaking to the press. You know, grand jury information and so forth, inside classified information about ongoing investigations. And so, you know, this is bad, bad, bad. We're going to finish with Alex Jones and some very, very insightful discussion about the Chinese and what they're really about. So here we go right now with Alex Jones.
Senior Google scientist quits over censored Chinese search engine. It says a whole bunch of other top engineers quit. And he goes on, the engineer, to say, to avoid contributing to the erosion of protection for dissidents. And he goes on to say, due to my conviction that dissent is fundamental to functioning democracies, I am forced to resign in order to avoid contributing to or profiting from the erosion of protection for dissidents. He declared, I view our intent to capitulate to censorship and surveillance demands in exchange for access to the Chinese market as a forfeiture of our values and governmental negotiation positions across the globe. Yes, the end of America. You know, I said something at the end of the last segment that I 100% believe. We really want to save this country, we want to save the republic from foreign governments and espionage, then we need the president and we need a coalition in Congress to use the force of the U.S. military under the executive branch and under the Constitution to remove the redcoat scourge that's in control of this country. And I'm not talking about the British Empire of old. I'm talking about every day now it comes into focus. Where Google and Apple and these other tech companies will not work with the Pentagon. They will not work with the CIA. They will not work with the military. But they will work officially with the communist Chinese and the dictatorial EU. Now you think about that. That's mainstream news. Now remember, all major six Hollywood production houses are controlled by China. They have controlling interests. That's mainstream, Wall Street Journal, New York Times. I told you 10 years ago, China is taking control of Hollywood. I got made fun of. I was meeting with top Hollywood people who were telling me about it. Michael Savage has a whole bunch of number one best-selling books. It's like 15 or something over the years. Been writing them since the 70s. They would not even take delivery at Barnes & Noble and other places 4 years ago when he put one out about China taking over America. Think about that. And, of course, Savage was asked to write that by patriots. I can tell you that. Savage doesn't know that I know that. I know that from folks that know Savage. I know Savage well, but the point is that they would not allow the book on the shelves in America. There it is. China promotes anti-Trump book. Washington Times. The state-run media is pushing it, buying it, and putting it on end caps all over China. And they're promoting it here in America, and they're buying up radio stations and satellite systems to beam pro-Chi-Com news into Chinese populations here in the U.S. that are now the fastest-growing population in North America. Not just here. In Canada, in the U.S., in Mexico, and all the way down to Chile. The Chinese are coming. And if they don't do what they're told, their family in China gets killed. I was asked not to get into it, and I won't, but we have actually had the Chinese try to exert force on us 6 years ago and 5 years ago, and I'll leave it at that. And let's just say somebody had to get basically a divorce over it. I've had Saudi intelligence attacking me as well, but look, the point is, when you're a real American patriot, you find out what's going on. You find out you're not in Kansas anymore. People just think, oh, America's all happy and good. Right under the surface, we're under attack. And we finally got a president that gets it. So now, I said Google needs to be SWAT teamed. It works with a group that killed five times the number of Hitler, the communist Chinese, on record, their own people. They're taking over everything. The CFR and the globalists put them in a position, gave them all the rare earth minerals, all the deep water ports. Just give them to them. The keys of the kingdom and the physical keys and the electronic keys to everything, to Apple, to your code keys, to your Google ID. Do you understand? It's mainstream news. We are almost taken over. And now this. Their state-run media is promoting fear and Bob Woodward. And saying, remove Trump, 25th Amendment, Trump is mentally ill, remove our president. Wow, a foreign government says remove our president, and Google, that was set up by DARPA 20 years ago, with Russian scientists, who took their ideas over here, is now moving to China and is helping censor their own people and round them up and kill them. Literally. And I was actually pleasantly surprised by Senator Cotton. I thought he was Alex Jones. When I got there, I was listening to the committee. I was like, well, this isn't all bad. And Rubio brought up some good points. Oh, I first walked with Rubio. The media doesn't show you that part. I'm like, hey, you know about the censorship? Because he was coming out to the press area. That's where you go way on the side where they come out. I didn't interrupt his press conference. He ignored me and was a jerk. So I got back in his face. But he was one of the only other senators that said some stuff about China and how they won't work, how Google won't work with our military. Which, again, okay, you're not going to work with our military. Then you work with the Chinese? America didn't kill, you know, in this century or the 100 million people. This is the real issue. Why do you think I was taken off air on all these platforms 5 weeks ago? It was this. It was that I was getting reports to the president. I was trying to mobilize you on social media to make this the issue. But guess what? I took one for the team. And we've now succeeded, thanks to you, the listeners, and the stations, and the Drudge Report, and all of us together, and your prayers. So now the big issue is censorship and traitorous activities by big tech firms moving to China, and they're all involved except Twitter. But Jack Dorsey's just is scared. So he goes along with other big tech giants. So that's the big news, and now you've got this. You have the hours of Google video coming out, their own video leaked, about how much they hate Trump and how they're going to stop him, and you know how they thought they delivered the election to Hillary, but they can't believe it. But next time, they're going to really get conservatives, and they're going to control thought. They're going to manage the narrative, and they're going to make sure that we go in the right direction. They're going to run your life. They're authoritarians. And you know, these are guys worth hundreds of billions of dollars apiece, but, oh, they're going to, you know, teach you how to be a good socialist. But they don't pay their taxes. And now, inside the ring, China promotes Bob Woodward's anti-Trump book, Fear. And now on top of that, senior Google scientist quits over censored Chinese search engine. It says a whole bunch of other top engineers quit. And he goes on, the engineer, to say to avoid contributing to the erosion of protection for dissidents. And he goes on to say, due to my conviction that dissent is fundamental to functioning democracies, I am forced to resign in order to avoid contributing to or profiting from the erosion of protection for dissidents. He declared, I view our intent to capitulate to censorship and surveillance demands in exchange for access to the Chinese market as a forfeiture of our values and governmental negotiation positions across the globe. Yeah, it's the end of America. It's the end of freedom. Because every other government's going to fall to it. Notice it's already happening here. There is an all too real possibility that many nations, other nations, will attempt to leverage our actions in China in order to demand our compliance with their security demands. And then it goes on from there. So there's your information right there. According to Intercept, Holson raised concerns with his managers at Google after The Intercept revealed that the internet giant was secretly developing a Chinese search app for Android devices. See, these big eggheads are really smart mathematically, but they never do full spectrum analysis, which your machines can't do properly either. And they don't understand that there's, most of them don't even know they're compartmentalized, sitting on top a giant censorship system already in place. We already have one here. They're already doing it here.
We're in a really dangerous period right now. Never have I seen the level of propaganda. And they're using the social network, gigantic corporations, which are still privately owned, to do a lot of censoring with algorithms and so forth. And I fear for the safety and the security and the liberties and freedoms of every American citizen. This is not getting to be a laughing matter of just politics anymore. We could be at the end of the American system, the American way, if we're not careful. Charlotte Littlefield Brown and I have interviewed people over the years. Robert Paxton wrote a book a number of years ago, An Anatomy of Fascism. He said that unlike the model, we could say, of Italian fascism in the Mussolini, you know what I mean, era, or even later, or a little earlier, about the same time in the Hitler era, you know, he said fascism to America can come out of different dynamics in different groups. What we're seeing in this country today is that we're seeing what formerly were the liberal people that used to stand up for civil liberties have been rolled over. And they've been rolled over into more of a statist type of status and a worldview. And you can see it. It came out of the universities with the political correctness and so forth. But it was a tyranny of the teachings of what I say is right, what my morals, what my ethics are is right, see? And what it did was it tended to be a tyranny of opinion. See what I mean? And the universities now have succumbed to this, and it is just out of control. Lou Dobbs and all these people, Charlotte Iserby, and all these other people over the years, and Alex is good at describing this, and Michael Savage and Rush Limbaugh is getting into this sometimes with certain positions and points. But and then Sean Hannity is leading the way against this scandalous spying on Trump. They did spy on Trump. They spied on him during the campaign, presidential campaign, and then they continued the spying after he actually went into office. They had all these FISA reports that were dummied up, presented to FISA courts and so forth. They knew about some of the falsities in the report that went ahead and presented them. Now they've been caught with all kinds of emails implicating leaking to the press, illegal leaking and so forth. I just fear how this is going to turn out. President Trump needs to start declassifying, and he needs to move to have a special prosecutor appointed that would begin an investigation of Mueller and all of that gang that he has going. These people are something else, and they are not going to preserve our freedoms and liberties. But what has happened is Hillary and Obama and all of them, they're using those Alinsky methods, and they're injecting into it with these people like Bob Woodward. Fear. What a name for a book. And Bob Woodward, you should be ashamed of yourself for getting caught up in such trash with anonymous sources, see? That's what they're doing. Anonymous op-ed, anonymous books, anonymous this, anonymous that. Nobody will come forward and say, hey, I'm John so-and-so, I'm John Jones, and this is what I believe. And I'm quitting the White House because of this, see? It's all this anonymous stuff. And in this case, the Democrats in the U.S. Congress are totally against truth. I mean, all these people on these committees that are on the Democratic side are totally in opposition to resolving anything even resembling truth out here. And we have these rhinos out there, Republican in name only, that are undermining Trump also. See, he didn't understand. President Trump didn't understand how deep this deep state and how corrupt, Washington had become because of the money. The contracts on defense spending and so forth, and these big programs. And it just got to be so much that everybody on several levels in the federal government and so forth totally started, eating at the trough, of federal monies. So it just, and that along with working, all kinds of criminal activities and drug dealing and arms dealing behind the scenes, using national security as the facade to hide behind that green curtain where you couldn't see, like Wizard of Oz, see? So that's what we're up against now. We're up against a big, big money racket, see? And that big money racket has become very vicious and very, very, very dangerous. And it won't just stop on its own accord. And that's really what we have to fear now, is this thing is just going to, cascade into just a tumbling down, a disintegration, a civil war of the whole country. We have these groups out here fighting each other, and, then they're the ones that are using the most violence are saying, oh, the other side committed the violence. Just outright lies, outright lies. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening tonight, and God bless each and every one of you. So good night. Bye-bye.